Okay, we can get called back. It's 9 o'clock, and we're returning from our board-requested break. We're on item number 10, and Eileen, I believe you pushed it off of consent. So
I just had one question.
Yes.
My one question. I just needed some clarification. Tori over at the middle school, it was my understanding he was going to go between the two schools, but I'm seeing here that it says he is changing from the principal at Edgewood to now the principal at Edgewood High. So is he completely, because it doesn't say he's sharing the role, it says he's completely changing.
Thank you. Clarify. For the question. Yes, he's sharing. He will be the principal of both
sharing.
Schools.
Okay, that was my only question.
Okay, any other questions?
I just have a couple of comments. Adrian Hamlin at Holland Crest is leaving, and I'm sorry to hear that. She's an extraordinary teacher.
Jake.
Huh?
I know.
Terrence Jacobson. Jake is leaving, and we're sorry to see that. We're sorry to see all of our people that are leaving, but have been particularly close to us in the last years is with that, and Joan Moss also. So just bring attention to those since we have the time.
Is there a motion?
I'll move it.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Moved and seconded to approve and ratify the personnel recommendations as presented. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed?
No.
Okay, it's 4-1. Item number 12, resolution reduction of force.
Okay, board members, a couple of things on this item. As you saw in your packets, these are basically positions that programs are going away, the PIP grant, the autism program at the high school, as well as some of these others that are listed in your packet. And is Marina still here? Marina, just in terms of your packet, the board agenda is on the web, and as a union leader, you need to talk to the previous union leader to find out where you get your information, because frankly, if you don't know where the mailroom is, he needs to explain to you where you need to do your union business. That's not for us to take care of. So I just want to make sure that you understand that, and I emailed you regarding the information that's here, as well as Mr. Seaman, and we talked about the fact that some of these people will do bumps into other positions, so it's not about the people themselves, but positions that will no longer be necessary. But one thing I want to make sure, because you said on the record that if a student needs an instructional assistant, he wouldn't have it. That is never the case. If a student needs an instructional assistant and we didn't have enough of them, we would hire them. So at no point will a student, through an IEP or special needs, not have the instructional support services that they need. So I just wanted to make sure that we straighten that out for the record.
Okay. Are there questions from the board?
And in your response, I'm sorry.
No, she can't respond.
I'm asking if there's questions from the board. Go ahead. Mr. Cox?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It says cost savings not determined. Is that why?
Because we have to finish with the bumps, you know, so that we're able to determine a person's salary.
Okay. So, in effect, these are...
These are positions, not individuals.
Well, I understand. All right, I see. For years I've heard nothing but this from the teachers that, they need aides. The instructional aides are a critical aspect of, how they are able to perform. I think it's in the best interest of the kids to keep the aides. And I understand if a particular program is eliminated, fine. We have no choice but to eliminate. I mean, we're not so wealthy that we can absorb, people into programs. But if any of these don't fit that category, then, and I know that it's not a money issue, so if maybe you could explain that a little bit more.
It's
as to why we're eliminating, or all of these positions gone because of special ed.
It's exactly what you said. Some of these positions in special ed is the autism program that's now moving to another district. The community liaison positions are going to become translation from Title III, and it's going to be a school-based need if they have the need. The district will no longer maintain a district position, but schools will do this through their own personnel. And the other ones that you see here is the PIP grant that the district has had for a number of years, and that is no longer going to be available. So in most of these cases are programs that go away or that moving to a school site.
But the PIP grant is just something that it's funding that we are not going to. I understand the autism. That's going away, and hopefully the employees will follow in that capacity. A PIP grant, that's a grant that we received money for to provide for, you know, these structural assistance.
And that program is going away.
Any other questions? Cammie?
It's not a question. It's just a comment. I just wanted to make sure the individuals in the audience have the revised copy.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Okay. Any other questions on this? I actually, you have questions? I actually had a question because when I first was told about this, I had it in the relation to the moving of the autism class. Now, which positions are those?
All the special ed positions are either for the PIP program or for the autism program.
Okay. So, yeah, but which ones are for the autism program and which ones are for the PIP?
Okay.
The six at the bottom are for the PIP.
So, instructional assistant special ed 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Instructional assistant special ed 3.5.
All 5-0?
Mm-hmm. Those are autism.
Okay, and the PIP. And then now the other ones, in the top here it says, due to changes in instructional programs and new mandates. What are the new mandates that normally mandates mean to me that we add people, unfortunately. So what mandates are coming in that require us to lay off these people?
Most of the community liaison's work is done at a school level, whether it's translation for meetings or translation of materials. As part of the Title III mandates that are coming forward, we are required to provide parents in their language these materials.
Right.
And because of the Title III money going to many sites now, the district can no longer do that with these two positions. And so we're looking at the stipend that's in the contract and allowing for some of this work to be done at the school site. So we won't, all of the money will go to the school level, and they will decide what their needs are.
Okay. Okay, and that's a mandate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know at one time, and this is before you were superintendent, I actually was willing to take PIP money out of our lottery fund, you know, at least for the year that they thought we wouldn't get the grant. You know, I'm not necessarily opposed to doing that again because I think there's value in that program by getting intervention that early. But that's just, I mean, that didn't pass when I tried to do that before you got here. Does anyone have any other questions or comments? Is there a motion? Okay, there is no motion.
I'll move this item.
Mm-hmm. Okay, it's been moved by Mrs. Paulus. Is there a second? Is there a second?
No, I didn't.
Okay, any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? No. Okay, passes 4-1. Item 13, information report on the KC Williams. Mr. Siemens, have there been any complaints?
Outdo your last performance.
Yes.
Come on.
No, there have been no complaints related to this presentation. I'm glad to report.
Any other questions for him on that? Item number 16, Mr. Cox pulled this from consent.
I just want a couple of clarifications for my own personal purposes. I'm on page 16A, and I'm looking at, well, actually 16A and 16B, but 16A is the combined unrestricted and restricted. 16B is restricted, and it's dealing with basically the same kinds of things. And I just want for clarification that the revised budgets that are provided for March 23rd and April 27th, they're points in times, but they're not, for instance, the revenue limit of $44 million. That may go up and down, but it is what you project for the budget that represents the entire year. That's correct. Okay. So, I understand that included in part of our is part of the beginning balance, fund balance, we had we'd set up a receivable, I suppose, for certain revenues that I guess it'd be the other way around. Anyway, that we had received and ultimately would spend this year. So accordingly, we have a little bit of a surplus last year, and we'll have a little bit of it that'll contribute to some of the deficit this year. Some of the expenses, like perhaps the services and other operating expenses, may go down, is the anticipation, so that our operating deficit between the well, combined at almost $10 million for this year, and in the unrestricted funds at almost $7 million, may decrease by a couple of million dollars. So we're still looking at somewhere around an $8 million deficit in the combined funds, and I don't know how much in the unrestricted fund. Could be as little as $5 million, but we're still a considerable deficit for the current year.
Special education, we're looking at up to $3 million, and that, as you know, is a contribution from the unrestricted to the restricted. So that would be the equivalent of a decrease in our beginning balance. However, because of some modifications to the formula that you'll see presented in a little bit, there are two areas that might change this year. One, we have something called DIS services, which this is the first year that the SELPA charges us. It hovers at around $900,000 to $1 million. If we're successful in changing the formula, that will have a kind of a ratchet effect. It will actually decrease this year as we get the money back in our account. And if we change, it'll actually be an increase in funding in the future. The next one is the SELPA formula regarding pupil count. The superintendent was already able to be successful in changing the count to a graded amount. If you look at your current budget, you already see an additional $100,000. We hope that it'll increase up to $800,000 again. So that's another million that will reduce the deficit. There's one more point that we did this year. Adult Ed used to be a pass-through. Adult Ed is now a program where we provide the service. Right now, you see it as a full expense of up to $500,000. However, as we finish the year between what we're doing with ROP and Adult Ed, that'll bring back to the fund balance anywhere between $500,000 and $800,000. So that'll reduce the deficit also. And then there's one amount where we were supposed to spend money, ARRA, and that's been sitting in our beginning balance since last year. We estimate that it'll be around $1 to $1.5 million. That takes me to seven, where we'll be able to recover up to three of the seven of the component of the deficit. There's one more amount that this year we're working with. Deferred maintenance, as you know, received no funding this year. And we also have a project closeout, as a matter of fact, the superintendent gave us a letter yesterday or today, for our project with LACO at Edgewood. Some of those monies are coming back to the district, and they've been sitting as a deficit, especially this year with deferred maintenance not being funded. If we are lucky, we'll get about $500 million. If we're really, really lucky, $800 million, depending on how we work with them the next couple of months. So right now, looking at this budget, our deficit could be as low as maybe $2 to $3 million or as high as $5 million, and right now we're projecting $9 million. And it'll change if we're successful in changing some of the special ed formulas. That will have the greatest impact within the next.
Again, so that will then have the greatest impact in our restricted.
In the unrestricted, that's where you see the seven. You see $7 million in the unrestricted, mm-hmm. And it'll.
Well, it will. It'll come because of the encroachment will reduce. Okay, so we reduce the amount of the special ed encroachment, but.
So that'll transfer
right.
To both the unrestricted and the combined.
Right.
The restricted
okay.
Continues to be a little bit of a challenge, just like with every district.
Right. But this is a reflective of what we anticipate where we're going to be at the end of the year.
Okay. A snapshot. In other words, Mr. Cox.
Okay. Anything else on this item? Is there a motion? It's been moved. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
To approve the monthly budget revision as presented, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. It's approved 5-0. Item number 17, approval of WCUSD to join the SELPA, LA County SELPA, excuse me. I believe Mrs. Polis pulled that from consent.
Yes. I called and asked some questions, and I understand that there will be
a short presentation. Thank you, Mrs. Polis, for asking for that. I'd like to call on Mr. Frutos to give the board a brief presentation that will. I know that you got a lot of materials in your update this weekend, but I think this summary, which shows very specific amounts of money and where our district for years has ranked as part of SELPA funding, will be of interest to all.
Is this a snapshot or just a
This is guaranteed snapshot.
Over the past 3 years, our staff has worked with the local CELPA, the East San Gabriel Valley CELPA, to change the allocation model to better reflect the state intention after the passage of AB 602 to deal with our formulas based on attendance. The current CELPA formula is based on a couple of past models. If I can take you back in time to the days of the J50, most of you will remember that every year we were trying to maximize units. Because of the change and us having an increasing ADA, we have been very negatively impacted over the last several years. The formula, as it's currently implemented, can have an impact in our district of anywhere between $300,000 at any one time to a couple of million dollars. So I'm going to walk very briefly to what we did to analyze what happened. A little bit of background on AB 602. In 97, there was a need to change the formula because some districts had truly over-identified. We saw identification rates of 12 to 15% in some districts. So the state decided to change special ed funding completely and say, from now on, we're going to fund you on a per ADA model. That created what they called a placement-neutral type of district, where identifying had no bearing on the funding. However, what happened is that the CELPAs received the money. As opposed to districts receiving directly or funding groups on units, the CELPA receives the money based on the ADA of the entire CELPA. So for us, what this means was we're a multi-agency CELPA. The East San Gabriel Valley CELPA decided to continue with a hybrid model. Part of the funding remained from what they had before, and they called it, for example, the provider program. Districts that had been providing services had a whole harmless, meaning the funding of year 97 continued increasing every year by COLA. The remaining of the funding in our CELPA was done on what they call an 80-20 split, 80% based on ADA and 20% based on pupil count. Well, you begin to see the problem here. You take away a big chunk at the beginning, now we're short. Then you grab the remainder of the funding, take 20% when we're not identified like other districts. That leaves only 80% of the remainder funding for districts like us, and that wasn't very good for us or for our partners at the time, Edison and Cava. So this is a picture of where we are. We received about $5.3 million. And if I can take you to the right column, and the reason why we're doing that is that there are two big players in our CELPA also. LACO, which provides a lot of services and administration, and the CELPA itself, which needs money to survive. So we received approximately $421 for every student on the gross. Eventually we'll go to net. That's the gross before we pay for some services. But how much money does the CELPA get? Where they truly get $767 per student. But we really cannot count that because there are administrative costs. So even if we take out all the administrative costs and take it to the 576.11, you can notice at the bottom that we're already only getting 73 cents on the dollar. That began to be a real problem for CAVA 3 years ago. They talked to our superintendent. They said, this is not fair. What are we doing? And we noticed that there was one more component that the CELPA was using that was difficult to understand, an averaging system. So you can paint a picture of any dollar. They were looking at year one, year two, and year three, and averaging. Well, on the first year when you come in, what happens to every dollar? You have a zero, and then your ADA, so you get 33 cents on the dollar. So it was terrible. So this year we did a little bit of surveys of what had been counted in the past. And in 2004, the Superintendent's Educational Service Association did a survey of about 41 CELPAs in Southern California. There are approximately 100 and some CELPAs up and down the state. And out of the 41 that responded, 26 are purely based on ADA. One is based on pupil count. One is using some type of poverty factor, again, some legacy. Three are using combinations of ADA and utilization, meaning what services you provide. One is using something like us, 75% ADA, 25% pupil count. And there are what they call the others. There is one district that never changed. Mm-hmm. They're using the J50 units. And then there are nine that use a combination of enrollment and equalization. Why? Over the last few years, the state has given money to equalize. And you will see in a future chart that we are one of the districts that's receiving the lowest amount of money per ADA. Well, those equalization dollars really never made their way to West Covina. So up in the corner, you see that our formula is based on an 80-20. which both CAVA and the district thought it was very unfair, and it began a process of change. So what we started doing is actually analyzing our dollars. So what happens with our $5 million? Well, our $5 million are 6.65% of the total pot. And if you look at the dollars without LACO and the SELPA, it goes up to 8.86%. So that's really where we are. We receive 8% of the funding. But if you look to the right, we're 12% of the population. So when you see that minus 3.26, that's huge when you're looking at a budget of almost $100 million. So we began to show that we are underfunded. The superintendent had several meetings with the superintendent council where they began to show this, and we began to demand a formula that was based on the way the state funds the program. What we did after, because they were saying that they didn't understand, is that we began to rank all these analyses. And this was the first part that showed. We first looked at what was the allocation per student. And if you notice all the way at the bottom on the first column, we received about $421 per student. That puts us in about ninth place with only the charters and Walnut below us. But then that wasn't really fair because that's an amount, again, based on the old model on the J50. We should all have the same amount per ADA. So then I looked at our actual attendance. We are about 12% of the total enrollment. If you look at the differential between how much we're receiving and our attendance, it's about a negative 3.26%, again, on a lot of millions of dollars, that really puts us at the bottom of the funding. So we started ranking ourselves based on all these categories, and actually when the SELPA hired an actuary, they took our data to present how we were being funded amongst the districts. Mm-hmm. Then we did a new ranking. What happens with the basic funding? As you recall, since the beginning of special ed funding, that's one area that gets most of the money, non-severe and occupational therapy. Our district gets about $4.7 million or $371 a student. That is so low that it doesn't even meet the statewide average, which is what everybody should be funded at. So once again, we're near the bottom, and we just remember that number. We're 12th on this category. Then we look at another one. How are we doing with non-severe and OT in comparison to our population? And if you look at some districts are actually making more money than they would on a pure ADA formula. People like the folks in Bonita and Covina Valley are actually making more money. Why? Because we believe districts like us have been subsidizing them. We are actually receiving almost 1% less of every single dollar that goes out, even in a basic category like this. And again, it puts us at the bottom of the funding. Then we started going into multiple comparisons. And again, it's getting a little more complicated, but we're almost done. What we did is every single rank that matters, meaning every single time that we receive money, how are we doing in comparison to other districts? And I'll walk you through you guys very quickly. The first one is in non-severe for ADA, we're 12 out of 14, including, again, there are three charters that you see there, two opportunities for learning, the School Arts Enterprise, and San Jose Edison. If you look then at how are we doing as a percentage on the differential between ADA and non-severe, we're at the very bottom at 14th. If you look then as the difference between money given and ADA, we're 13th. And if you look at the pupil count to ADA, meaning how are districts identifying, we're 12th. And again, why? We show an identification of 5.78. Before you panic, that's really not our identification number. We're more in the 8 to 9%. But this is what we've been funded on. So when you average all these amounts, and you can just grab, for example, for Bonita, they're 4th, 4th, 1st, and 4th. You divide that by 4, they get 3 points. They're at the very bottom, at the very top of the funding. When you look at us, being number 12, number 14, number 13, and number 12, it averaged about 13 points, and that puts us at the very bottom of all the funding mechanisms for the SELPA. So what we started doing is asking the SELPA to modify the funding in a way that it would be more fair, especially with something as simple as the equalization monies that came over the last few years. Obviously, they refused, so we began to look at other alternatives, and our superintendent had a meeting with LACO, and they have begun the process of forming a new SELPA that will fund like charter schools want to be funded with a basic for service type of system. If we simply modify our funding to the state average, now you see a solution, if you will, on the lower right corner we would immediately receive almost $300,000 more per year. That's ongoing money. That's without making any changes to the fee-for-service model, just on the basis on the per ADA funds. We believe that if we change and we go into a fee-for-service model, not only will we receive this $300,000, but potentially go into the hundreds of thousands, maybe even past a million. So what we have done is shown all this information to the SELPA, to the auditor. They were actually not able to challenge any of our numbers. And since then, we've had a meeting with a new SELPA forming group at LACO. And our intent, and if you saw the back of the meeting over the weekend, is to request approval to join the Los Angeles County SELPA. From a funding and legal perspective, there are several things that will be different and probably significantly better for the district. The provision of services would have a more transparent funding system that you will be able to understand and will be able to understand. And aside from that, we couldn't find anything that was negative about initiating the move.
Questions? Anyone? I actually had a question, and that dealt with, you know, for some time I've thought we haven't been getting, I don't know what the right word is, from the East Ingo Valley SELPA, and I've thought that for some time. They were going to go, and we had a presentation here that to a new administrative model that was put out to bid, et cetera, et cetera. And we had a lot of discussion about that. And, you know, there are no savings for us in that, or are these savings on top of the change in that administrative model? Because originally, as you know, this is where I have just a little bit of a struggle, which is like, okay, well, LACO was part of the problem at the beginning.
That's what they wanted us to believe. The Superintendent's Council believed that it was LACO that was overcharging.
Mm-hmm.
And as we kept digging information out, it turns out that LACO is not overcharging. In fact, El Dorado Charter, which is one of the best SELPAs in terms of the amount of money that they give, charges 10%. Mm-hmm. LACO was charging 6%. What happened was that the SELPA and the deals and the sidebars that were being done with the director, that's where we were getting in trouble. So okay. Now when everything is on the table after an audit, okay, I've been repeatedly asking when these things are going to change, and I get a lot of pushback because there's everybody ahead of us and we're last. So nobody really wants to change unless you're in the bottom half. The superintendents most adamant about not changing anything are Bonita and Covina and those.
Yeah, you'd think Walnut would want to change,
right.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, Walnut should want to change too based on those numbers. Okay, so the idea that LACO was the problem, and then once they were gone as their administrative agent and we'd have a new one, was not the source of much of the problem. It was still the funding allocation. So if we shift back to LACO being the administrator, that's where we'd have those $285,000 savings.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. They've also become their own SELPA. So they're not only going to be their administrative unit, but they're going to be the LAC SELPA. And they're going to recruit charters as well as we will be their first district if the board approves.
Okay. Okay, so we should be in line to take money from all the other districts
Definitely.
That sign up.
Definitely. They owe us.
That's how it should work. Okay, any other questions, comments?
No other questions but a comment.
Yep.
I was very concerned about our students having access to the deaf and hard of hearing programs and the visually impaired programs, the autism spectrum program, and I'm assured that we'll be able to access all of those through the county at a fee for service, which would be the way to go.
Correct.
Hmm. So I'm all for this as long as all of our students have access to the same programs.
When we were asked, what was the remark, why they didn't change this for West Covina in the past?
Well, one of the things that they said, you mean the funding model? They said that, one, that the administrative unit, if it was done locally, could be done for a lot less, but that we were receiving some free services. So we thought, okay, let's find out what the free services are. Well, Cheryl and I now found out that there are some speech services that we were not getting charged for, but we're also not receiving the full ADA. So it's almost like we're losing $3 million and they're giving us $700,000 in free services. Mm-hmm. That's not free. That's that
okay.
We're losing $2.3 million. So those free services were not really.
Eileen?
My question, as Kemi was saying, we're not going to
we will continue to service students. So will they still be going to the East San Gabriel SELPA programs? Or are they going to a different place? Or are we servicing them here on a fee-for-service basis? Where are they going to move?
Well, in the case of those students that are being served by the SELPA districts, if I can call them that, the provider districts, there are two choices. Remember, LACO is the administrative unit for both, plus Montebello and a bunch of other SELPAs. So they have pledged to work with us to retain the students in the current services that they are. Let's assume for a second that one of the districts in the SELPA, for no good reason, said we will not provide you this service. It actually has a negative economic impact because we're paying for the service. But if they refuse to do that, we would then work with LACO to provide a service. The majority of our students are actually already being served by LACO.
Yeah.
So those will not change. We just need to renegotiate how the fees will be done. And since we're a chartering district, chartering not meaning chartered, meaning beginning district, we would be working on the allocation model ourselves. So it all looks favorable at this point.
Any other questions?
Their comment.
Yeah.
Pomona has already left the SELPA, mm-hmm. and they are still purchasing their services from the provider districts, from Azusa and Covina Valley, from the SELPA.
Any other? Is there a motion?
Thank you.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
So we moved and seconded that we approve WCUSD to secede. I don't know if that's the right word. Secede from the current SELPA and join the Los Angeles County SELPA. Please thank Dr. Robles for us. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's approved 5-0. Board of Education discussion. Does anyone have anything?
I just had a question.
Yes.
Help me. When the union had told us that they didn't know where the mailbox is, why can't we tell them?
It isn't that we can't tell them. It's that they get trained by their own previous members. Their communication about union business is through the union, not through the district. However, she did write to me. I did explain to her where it was. I had the agenda delivered. But she still chose to believe that we didn't tell her where it was or that she didn't know how to get it. So I wanted to clarify for the record that, A, union business is done with union resources. We do not use our drivers to go deliver union business to union presidents. However, we have the courtesy of a box that's right here behind us in the technology department where our mailroom is, and every president has received theirs there. If they don't want to come to get it, they can go online, and it's posted the Friday before every Tuesday's board meeting.
Okay, thank you. So it's located over here, and it's there by Friday. Like
she
the
knows
way we
exactly
get it.
Where
okay.
it is.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other comments?
Okay. Thank you for clarifying.
Anything
this.
Else? Okay. We next board of meeting is May 11th. We are adjourned.